This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you, yeah you in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9 with Mac and Tess. In a moment, we'll be joined by Lord Mayor Sally Capp, but first, little something that I wanted to share with you. Soon we're going to begin a new chapter in the history of Joy when we move to the Pride Centre. We're going to say goodbye to Bourke Street, and it will be a sad day, but it's also a day of new beginnings for Joy. Those purpose-built new studios at the Pride Centre are state-of-the-art, and we're all going there with a renewed sense of purpose and commitment, and we'll continue to create radio by us and for us. You know, we've been very fortunate to have had a superb landlord for 13 years here in the city of Melbourne. They've supported Joy in so many ways over these 13 years. And it's fair to say we may well not be here and broadcasting without their support. So I want to say thank you to the city of Melbourne and in particular Lord Mayor Sally Capp. But today is also a significant day. On the 1st of December 1993, Joy started broadcasting from Coventry Street, and we did so for 14 and a half years until June 13th, 2008. We started broadcasting from this very studio in Bourke Street 13 years ago. And 11 years ago, I started hosting Saturday Magazine. Joy's been the voice of our community since 1993. That's almost 28 years of out loud and proud broadcasting for our community. Now, in those 8 years from 1993 to Bourke Street, till we got our full-time licence in December 2001. So 20 years on, and a quick calculation, that's about 200,000 hours of broadcasting by our incredible volunteers who've been supported by Joy staff, donors, members and sponsors. Our voice has become larger, louder, more professional, more diverse, and I just want you to think for a minute what it would be like without Joy on air. Now, during May, Joy 94.9 passed 2,500,000 podcasts. And this show has had 420,000 of that total. That's a staggering figure, and I want to thank all of our guests who've been so generous with their time. I want to thank the SatMag team, who are a dedicated, professional, well-oiled machine. You may not think so sometimes, but we are. I want to thank every single person who's downloaded those podcasts from everywhere, and I mean everywhere in the world. I humbly say thank you. Without the support of all of you, we couldn't bring you SatMag to air every week. And finally, we've covered fearlessly the issues that matter to our community. The issues that have delivered us all greater equality, diversity, knowledge and inclusion. It has been an honour and it continues to be an honour and a privilege to be the host of this show and to be Joy's president. Thank you. Good morning, Sally Capp.
Wow, I feel honoured to come after all of that recognition of how significant Joy has been and the Saturday Magazine show. And it's lovely for you to thank so many people, Macca, on behalf of you and Tess, I know. And it's for us to also say thank you to you and acknowledge your leadership and your courage in stepping into so many important issues, and also for really taking Joy from Coventry to Bourke Street and now to the incredible Pride Centre. What a journey, and you've absolutely been at the centre of all of that. So congratulations to you, and really is an honour to be involved with such a fantastic radio, not just program in terms of yours, but your entire organisation. So well done.
And thank you. And look, on behalf of the board of Joy, Sally, working with the City of Melbourne and with your team and with you personally has been a pleasure. Professional, fantastic, lots of empathy, lots of understanding. Difficult last couple of years, and the City of Melbourne has stepped in on every occasion to assist Joy in whatever ways they could. And I'm not gilding the lily to say if the City of Melbourne hadn't done that, we may well not be here and broadcasting. So thank you.
You're hard to resist,
Macca. I know.
It sounds like a bit of a love-in this morning.
Yeah,
when
Tess.
When you come in with a request. But look, I have to say, and Tess, it's great to hear you coming from Daylesford, you know, we've been partners in so many things, and I really see when you look back on what's happened, particularly on the last couple of years, when organisations and people really get in together and act as partners because we've got mutual goals, it makes all the difference rather than it being transactional. So it's really been terrific.
It does. Now,
and we love loving.
Oh, yeah, it's nothing like it.
Particularly at the moment.
We certainly need to actually express a bit of love for each other at the moment, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Tess, lead off.
Well, Sally, speaking of loving, I wanted to actually really ask you, from your perspective as, you know, a community leader in the City of Melbourne, what's been the impact of this latest lockdown on the City of Melbourne?
Mm. Well, again, we are back to, it feels like, ground zero. And, of course, that reflects the health priority and people adhering to the restrictions. But every day I am speaking with traders and members of their teams, and they are the hardest hit. Every report, every economic report that comes out, even when it's talking about the fact this week with the Federal Treasurer saying that the Australian economy overall has grown, here in the City of Melbourne, we remain the hardest hit. And we know that so much of that economic growth has been the stimulus, but also the energy and the dedication of Melburnians and Victorians to just keep getting back up every time we feel that we've been knocked down to the mat. So here we go again. Lockdown number four. It is very, very quiet in the city. Macca, you're in there today,
yep.
Paul. So you can see the sense of traders is that they are just hanging on there, and for many this may be the straw. But even in the conversations we have in supporting each other, where landlords can help their tenants, where traders are helping their staff, it's that virtuous circle of support, and we hope it can really sustain us. And we live in hope that, you know, that we come out of this as quickly as possible, and the better we are each time, hopefully the less likely it is that we have to go through this again.
Sally, and a lot's been said about the impact of this particular lockdown, and a number of commentators and a number of other community leaders. Are you able to perhaps spell out what that impact has been like, and perhaps even quantify it? Are you able to put a number to it?
Well, yes. I mean, it is difficult to quantify completely, but after the long lockdown last year, we had a PwC report that told us that worst case scenario, our $104 billion economy in the city was going to lose $110 billion over the next 4 to 5 years. We saw such a magnificent rallying of people, and pre this lockdown, we were really coming alive. The pedestrian count numbers were so encouraging. On our best Saturday, we were at 97% of normal foot traffic, and on our best weekday, we were at about 86%. They are literally joyous numbers. This lockdown will set us back again, and we need to be, again, reliant, as I said, on that energy and support that comes from people coming into town to go to their local pubs or their favourite pubs, cafes, restaurants, to purchase things in our retailers, to go to those cultural institutions and help us with that rally. The most recent Deloitte report showed that I think overall people were stunned with the sort of bounce back that we'd experienced after the last lockdown. But again, just pointing out that given the central business hub that we have in Melbourne. More workers actually within our central business district than any other capital city around Australia. That it does become harder and harder the more discouraging the circumstances for people to come into city workplaces. So we're expecting that economic hit. I know it's been estimated in some of the media at about $125 million a week. And they're really big numbers. But if you just take it down to a trader trying to work out how they're going to pay rent, can they keep up wages to their loyal employees? How are they going to open their doors again? It becomes very real. And as I said, just the more support that we can provide during lockdown through takeaway and online, and then afterwards by enthusiastically getting back involved in the city, it's so important. But Tas, can I just say, and I know that you understand this well, it's the mental and emotional anguish that goes with it really takes the toll. And every time we reach out to check in with somebody, purchase something, or really just get excited about the future, and there's plenty to be excited about, that really helps everyone who's suffering at the moment.
We've just got we've got Tas back. I noticed, Sally, there's been, you know, you've talked about Melbourne money, which is going to be for perhaps you explain it to us how this will work, and obviously when we come out of lockdown that will commence. Tell us what it is and what it will do to help.
Good. Well, look, this is part of the revitalisation fund that we have, a joint fund with the state government. And when I say there's lots to be excited about, there really is, because there are so many offers and features of the city that are irreplicable and I think are positively irresistible. And we've got them all lined up ready to go as soon as the restrictions ease. So Melbourne Money, which is where we will shout 20% of your dinner or lunch bill. So come on into the city. It launches next weekend.
Okay.
And a very, very easy program to use. You basically pay your bill, you take a photo, send it to us on our Melbourne Money website, which will launch next weekend, and give us your bank account details, and we will put 20% of your bill back into your bank account. We're very excited about that in terms of encouraging people to come into our hospitality venues. But then there are so many other things on the go. We're so hoping that amazing Rising team will be able to tell us shortly about the elements of that festival that have been able to be extended, because this lockdown has basically been the Rising Festival period overlapped completely, and it's simply stunning what they've put together. Hannah and Gideon and Kath at the Rising Festival. We've got Firelight Festival at Docklands at the end of the month. Who doesn't love fire? Love fire. And laser shows and food trucks and all of the great restaurants down there. The Melbourne Museum has their Treasures exhibition opening, which has come from the Natural History Museum. Many items that we haven't seen before here and that are rarely seen around the world that have come out of their archives at the Natural History Museum. All of those sorts of things, shows, exhibitions, you know, it goes on and on. All of those things will kick off as soon as restrictions ease. So we really want people to feel hopeful and positive and confident that the Melbourne that they love is ready to kickstart again as soon as restrictions ease.
Now, stay with us, Sally. We've just got to go to a break. And I want to thank you also. Sally was one of 10 business and community leaders that recorded an announcement encouraging people to have a vaccination. As far as I know, we're the only radio station that's doing this.
Is that right, Macca?
Well, I'm not aware of any others. I've been listening to some others. It's pretty broad church we engaged. So I want to thank Sally for that, but also all the others. Stay with us, Sally. We'll be right back.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass, and we're speaking with Lord Mayor Sally Cappin. Sally just covered off for us what Melbourne Money is, which is a joint program with the state government, Sally?
Yes. It's an example of a lot of the programs we've got coming up that are joint. And I think it's important for people to know that there's a huge effort going into not only identifying programs that we think can make a difference, but actually properly resourcing them as well. So there's $200 million in that revitalisation fund. We've also just released our draft budget, which is a record $790 million being invested into the Melbourne economy. With these sorts of efforts underway, it does give us confidence about the future. But of course, we need everybody to be able to come along with us.
So talking about the budget, Sally, that's the total value of the budget, $790 million
So it's our biggest budget ever, and we think that this is the time to be investing, particularly if we've got capacity to do it. It's absolutely appropriate as a level of government. Some of the features in there are $244 million being spent on capital works and infrastructure. That does include money for the ongoing renewal at Queen Victoria Market. It does include the initial funding for
the first stage of Green Line.
Which is exciting, exactly. It includes a lot of local projects, and it's investing in new open spaces. There's really a mix of everything in there, and it does mean about 2,800 jobs that we will create to deliver that capital works project. That's over the next 12 months. And then, of course, those projects leave a legacy for the future. So that's a central feature. So many other elements to our budget that really reflect the ambitions of our community, everything from affordable housing. We've got a big green battery storage program that we're looking at, together with what needs to happen in local communities for people to feel happy and proud of their local streets and open spaces.
Sally, if only you could have seen the huge smile on Macca's face when you mentioned Green Line.
Yes.
He's almost
It's probably like
himself.
Mine.
Sally, of the $79 million, how much of that is BAU?
$790 million.
How much of that is BAU? How much of that is to essentially fund your core service delivery? And how much of that is new money? You've already talked about virtually $240 million for capital expenditure. Is that new money, or is that part of your core that you've diverted across?
Well, look, we do have to maintain, as you know well, Tass, our core services. And
of
interesting
course.
Because yesterday I was down at our Docklands Community Centre talking to one of our maternal health nurses. It's an essential service for mothers with young babies to come in and do their regular checks and be immunised and check-ins on family welfare, etc. And sometimes we forget that our local councils and our staff are delivering those essential services. Even our library staff have converted all of our services to online and to click and collect, and maintaining reading rooms with kids and keeping those connections. All of our rec centres, and of course then cleaning our parks and maintaining parks and keeping our streets clean and collecting waste. All of those things are our base level. This year, we are still in debt. We went into debt last year for the first time in about 30 years. We're actually reducing our debt levels this year. So the new money is a little bit of debt, but really the biggest push has been the $200 million revitalisation fund together with state government. And over this financial year and the next one, that's an extra, you know, $150 million that we're receiving in funding, which has really helped us deliver this expanded program. As I said, you know, it's our biggest budget ever, but we really do appreciate the support we get from the state government and also federal government in delivering good outcomes in Melbourne.
I think one of the hallmarks of of how this has played out, Sally, has been the cooperation between the state government and the City of Melbourne, but also with a number of other councils. But particularly, the state government recognises how important the CBD is to our culture, to our economy, and, you know, it's not just it doesn't just support jobs, it creates jobs, but it's the culture, it's the arts component of that as well, and the restaurants. That I know the City of Melbourne has a lot of plans post-lockdown, and, you know, Melbourne money is one of them. In terms of our arts area, that's one of the biggest challenges, isn't it? Considering how many venues there are in the City of Melbourne, you know, live music venues, theatre venues. Tell us
museums, galleries.
Galleries, you know, if you're a culture vulture, you could circle Melbourne for days looking for somewhere to land. There's so many.
Well, interestingly enough, I was invited to a preview opening of Melbourne's newest museum, the Science Museum, which is in Carlton. I think it's at the old Royal Women's Hospital site.
It is.
I was meant to be there on Monday night.
I was going to be there, Tess.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, it's been rescheduled, so I have that in my diary.
I didn't get a bloody invite. Why didn't I get an invite?
Just don't hang around with the right people, Macca.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Again, it's an example. The only one of its kind in Australia, like ACME has just reopened, the Australian Centre for Moving Image, the only one of its kind in Australia. And so when I say there's so much about Melbourne that is irreplicable, it's so true. The foundations for our return as a vibrant, flourishing city after this short lockdown, fingers crossed, is real, because we've got all of those fantastic foundations. But the arts and culture, absolutely essential, and so much of our budget and what we'll be doing over the next 12 months is to support our event sector, our arts sector, culture sector, from grants to individual artists for new commissions all the way through to our premier events such as Melbourne Fashion Week, Melbourne Music Week. We're getting excited about Christmas, and we want to make sure we turbo boost New Year's Eve. So that ongoing investment and that understanding that the fabric, not just of our economy, but really our culture and who we are, is invested so much in our events, festivals and creative sectors.
Sally, it would be remiss of me not to ask this question, but how are your staff at Melbourne City Council travelling, and what's been the impact on them personally, and what sort of feedback are you getting, and finally, what's Melbourne City Council doing about supporting people's, you know, emotional, mental and health and wellbeing?
Well, look, it's just so important, and I've been doing some thank yous this week, actually, to different teams across the City of Melbourne. It's one element is the flexibility and the tenacity to pirouette into different roles if necessary. It's the tenacity to keep going in the most extreme circumstances to make sure that the city can keep running. Since lockdown, we've collected 900 tonnes of waste, for example. We have to keep maintaining our parks and gardens to make sure that people can enjoy them for relaxation and respite during times of lockdown. Those elements are so key. So really saying thank you to everybody in our team who continues to work so hard so that the city is up and running. But it's a little bit more than that because, for example, in the lockdown last year, we started a new service called Business Concierge, where we do outbound calls to our local business owners to check in, see how they're going, and talk to them about what support is available across the three levels of government to try and really streamline support for them. We've been doing more than 80 calls a day across our business concierge team. And part of that is to provide a helping hand, but also someone that's there to listen and provide some warmth and emotional support, mental support. And for our team, that can be very taxing as well. I know just from the phone calls I make, we're very much trying to provide that support, but listening to so many stories of hardship can also take a toll. So really been reaching out to our team to make sure that they feel properly supported so that they can deliver the best services to people in our community that are really doing it tough.
Sally, I'm sure your staff would appreciate very much hearing from you and you sending these sorts of messages to them. Often, you know, we as mayor public forget that there are human beings behind some of these services and systems. I'm hearing from a whole lot of health staff at the moment that really they just can't do any more. And that might sound like people are beating it, you know, beating a drum, but the truth is that we have expected a lot. And imagine trying to work with all that PPE on. Imagine trying to conduct your normal job, you know, having to wear all that garb, but also having to take so many additional extra steps to keep yourself safe, but also to keep the people that you're working with safe as well.
Tight and stress. Look, to everybody, every single worker who's performing an essential service and right there on the front line, literally we cannot do it without them.
That's right.
So thank you. And of course, the heightened stress levels at the moment. But I also know that working together and assuming that everybody's doing their best and thanking people for doing their best, they're going to be important elements for getting through this period and making sure that, you know, that we can survive in the longer term. So it's been pretty brilliant looking at the amazing way in which Victorians and Melburnians have really responded in a crisis again and again and again over the last 12 months.
It is. Now, Sally, we've run out of time. Again, and look, we thought last time would be the last time we'd talk to you from Bourke Street.
We're not going to call it again.
We're not going to call it again because otherwise I end up with cake.
Whenever we get to the Pride Centre, it'll be very special.
Yeah, otherwise I end up with cake mix on my face. look, thank you again for your leadership and what you're doing in the city of Melbourne. I know it's a tough gig, it's a tough time, but it doesn't go unnoticed and it is much appreciated by people. And a lot of business people in the city I speak to welcome the level of engagement the City of Melbourne has with them, so and small and large, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks to everyone and well done again at that reflection on the role that joy has played in our community and literally the joy that you bring us.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to send you a virtual kiss.
I'm back at you.
Thank you.
That was an oral kiss, mate.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.